We continue this week's series, All Things Bright and Beautiful. And there's something very special about knowing that everything in creation around us was made and is controlled by God. To me, knowing that makes everything just that much more special and beautiful, because it's God's handiwork. I have to confess that one of the most amazing natural wonders God made is something we see outside almost every day: clouds. And yes, God has a few things to say in His Word about clouds, so how about we take a look in His Word and at the sky to see what clouds have to teach us. Balancing the clouds. One of the most amazing things to me about clouds is how they can hold so much water up in the sky, water that just floats along. 1 liter of water weighs about 2.2 pounds. A gallon weighs over 8 pounds. If you've ever tried carrying a few gallon containers at once, or 5 gallon pails of water, that starts to feel pretty heavy. Now, think of a rainstorm, a big rainstorm. And it can rain and rain sometimes for hours. Think of all that water, and yet, just before the rain started, where was all that water? Yes, it was up there, stored in the floating clouds. If you've ever flown on an airplane, one of my favorite moments is when the plane gets above the clouds. From up there, the clouds look like huge mountains, and all of them have water in them. It's no wonder that a friend of Job once asked him, "Dost thou know the balancing of the clouds?" Meaning, can you tell how God keeps all that water floating in the sky like that? Oh, I've heard the scientific explanations why clouds are and all of that, but that doesn't make me think any less of God's amazing wisdom in how He designed the clouds and uses them to carry rain to wherever He wants it to fall. But speaking of wherever the rain falls, God's Word says He makes His rain to fall on the just and on the unjust, meaning God allows it to rain on the wicked man's field just like He does on the righteous man's field. Did you ever think about how good God is, even to wicked people, to sinners like you or me? You see, God not only sends rain to our lawns and gardens and fields, but He also sends His Word to our homes, our school, and our church. He sent His beloved Son, Jesus, to all kinds of people too, not just to good people, but especially to sinners, so that we would become good by His grace and Spirit, blessing the gospel of His Son, Jesus. Sunday, we heard about Pentecost and the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit on people, amazingly transforming them. Well, how about you and I pray tonight for God's Spirit to rain down on us with showers of blessing? You know, we really need it. God in the cloud. Would you believe it, children, if I told you God made Himself known through clouds? It's true. Think about the early sign of His covenant mercies, His promise not to destroy the world again with a flood. Where did He put His rainbow? Right up into the very clouds that send the rain. It reminds us of His promise. Every rainbow reminds us of His covenant relationship of love for His people. But that's not all. Think about the pillar of cloud by day that led the people of Israel through the barren wilderness. The Israelites didn't have a map. They didn't have a GPS to tell them where to go. They didn't need those things because God Himself, using that pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, directed them. And who could ever forget those times in the wilderness when there was trouble starting, and the people were complaining or rebelling, and then all of a sudden there would appear the cloud of God's presence. Now, theologians call that the Shekinah glory, but it must have been amazing to see. The people just stopped what they were doing. They stopped their complaining. God's glory became somewhat visible in that cloud. And not to mention that cloud, think about the clouds of smoke like the smoke of a furnace, the Bible says, on top of Mount Sinai, showing that the glory of God was there. Now, these things must have been awesome sights, children. When Moses saw and heard God's glory coming down on Mount Sinai, even he was very afraid. It says he exceedingly feared and quaked. That means he shook. But all of these visible signs of God's glory, although they made them stop and think for a moment, none of those appearances of God's glory actually changed people, saved people. So we don't need to wish that we could see a miracle or some tremendous revelation of God's glory visibly that we can see. No. What we need is God-given faith to believe what God says to us in His Word. That is where the glory of God shines the clearest and brightest. And trusting in Him through His Word is the best way of honoring our great and glorious God, trusting in His Son. Now, do you read your Bible each day? Do you have it read to you? Do you talk about what you're reading? Do you think about what you're reading? Do you pray to God, the God you hear about in the Bible, asking Him to shine with His glory in your heart and life? Riding upon the clouds. I must say, one of the most remarkable moments in Old Testament history is when Elijah is taken up into heaven on a chariot of fire. That must have been something for Elisha to see. But did you know that God is said to ride upon the clouds? Deuteronomy says God rideth upon the heavens for His people's help. Psalm 68 says the same thing basically twice more. And in Isaiah, we read, God rideth upon a swift cloud. But then, think of Jesus Christ rising from earth into heaven. The Bible says a cloud received Him out of the apostles' sight. Could you imagine seeing Jesus rising higher and higher, and then He's gone? But let's not forget, the angel said He's going to return in the same way, return on the clouds. Jesus talked about that in Matthew 24, for example, saying, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven, with power and great glory." And again in Matthew 26, "Hereafter," He said, "ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Did you ever look up into a sky full of clouds and wonder to yourself, will He come back today? If we're longing to be with Jesus in glory, we would do that sometimes. Maybe not every day, but surely some days. Especially when we're so tired of sin and tired of missing Jesus a lot. But going back to Elijah and the chariot of fire, he's not the only person, aside from Jesus, who will be caught up into heaven. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that when Jesus does return in glory, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What an incredibly joyful moment that will be when all true believers who are now in heaven will return with Jesus from the sky and meet believers who were alive on earth when He returns. And then all will be together in the air as life in the new heaven and new earth begins. But it won't be joyful for everyone, boys and girls. Romans 1 verse 7 warns us, "Behold, He comes with clouds, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of Him." Sinners who reject Jesus, who love their sins rather than Him, they will wish the rocks would fall on them and the mountains cover them rather than face Jesus in judgment. But there will be no place to hide. It'll be too late. So next time you see the clouds in the sky, think, children, that one day Jesus will return in glory on such clouds. And pray much that when He does, you might be with Him, having been sorry for all your sins, trusting in Him alone for salvation, and eternal life, then you too will be together in the air with all his people and with him to live forever in glory.